and H.F. Williamson. I'm interviewing Malcolm G. Davis for the Veterans History Project of the Library of Congress American Folklife Center. We are at Studio X, Campbell Hall in Urbana, Illinois. Henry Radcliffe is the Director of Lighting, Sound, and Camera. Good morning, Malcolm.
Oh,
how are you?
Good morning. Oh, I'm pretty good for an older guy.
I'm glad to hear that. Why don't you tell us about your background and what you were doing before you went into service?
Well, I was born in Urbana, Illinois, on California Street. That before they did it in hospitals. And my father was a grocer downtown Urbana, across from the Busey Bank. And I graduated from Urbana High School in 1936. And right then, a good friend of mine, a father was a foreman at the binder at the University Press. And I got on as an apprentice there and served my apprenticeship. And just when I finished the 4 years, I was drafted and had to go in the Army, had to go to Chicago to sign in by train. And I went to Camp Blanding at Stark, Florida for training. A lot of sandy place there. I didn't know at the time, but that was preparing me for walking in the deep snow over in Europe.
Is this the infantry that you were being trained in?
Pardon?
What branch were you trained in, the infantry?
Infantry. And I ended up in the 30th Division, 119th Infantry in Company D, and that was a machine gun company. And when I got up to the front line on Christmas Eve and dug my first foxhole.
What year was this?
In 1944, in December 24th. And
so had you gone directly from Florida to the European theater? They took
you straight? Yeah, well, I went to New York and got on a boat and landed in England. I think I went out from Liverpool. I can't remember the other city I went in, but at that time all the lights were out and everything for kind of the war. So,
were you given any training once you arrived in France before you went up and dug that first foxhole?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
He went right in. I landed at Le Havre, and I remember we had all our duffel bags. They were pretty heavy. And I had to carry that. They marched us up a hill, a brick road. I remember that. And then I got into the 30th Division. And I got there, they stopped the Germans in the Battle of Bulge. And we pushed them back, and
So you were part of the people they were bringing in quickly to help stop the German Battle of Bulge advance.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, let's see,
So you dug your first foxhole on Christmas Eve, and then were you moving forward after that?
Yeah, and then we moved in the 48 trains.
Oh, 40
men and 8 horses, little boxcars, and let's see, when I got... with my company.
How close to the front lines could the trains go?
Not very close. Right. They had the 4x4 trucks and jeeps, and a thing happened that was kind of interesting. When I got with my outfit, I was riding behind a jeep on a trailer, mm-hmm. and the jeep driver got a little intoxicated and went in the ditch, and the trailer flipped over, and my buddy and me were sitting on it, but I jumped. But he got his legs broken or something. I never saw him again. So that was, I was just pure lucky, I guess, but I was quick thinking to jump off of it. So
were you continually moving, or did you have to stop and dig foxholes at times when the Germans fought back, or how was that going?
Well, the foxhole was before that, yeah. But we were chasing them out or something, because I remember going across the field. We were under fire, and I had a pocket Bible in my pocket here, and I got a piece of shrapnel and hit that Bible, put a dent in it. Metal, there's metal covers on it. Then,
so the Bible saved you from a serious wound?
Well, it might have been something, I don't know.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. I was thankful for that. But then we got up and crossed the Roar River. And that was a river about, not a big river, but it was one of the main rivers. And when it went on to the Rhine River, and I remember we were walking then, spread out, and I don't know.
Were you within range of the German artillery?
Yeah, we heard. Then we got into the Black Forest.
Oh. And before when you crossed the Rhine, were you on bridges, or did they have to ferry you across the Rhine? Were all the bridges still intact?
Oh, one bridge. We crossed the river, and the bottom of it was out, and it was a steel bridge with a flat. It sloped up and then crossed and sloped down. Had to walk on them, and I didn't know whether I would fall off or not.
Oh, my. You had to go on the girders?
You had to keep your balance.
I'll say.
So
you're across the Rhine, and you're in German country, in German territory, Germany?
And I got pictures of where we met the Russians.
Oh, my gosh.
We hooked up there, and they come one way and we come another, and we cleaned out the Germans, and the Russians were glad to see us. We're glad to see them.
So there was a friendly meeting?
Yeah, yeah. I got a picture of them.
Oh, that's nice.
And so
was this pretty near the end of the European War by now?
Yeah, let's see. Oh, I got in one house, was Hermann Göring's headquarters.
Oh.
And I got some German money there out of it. And I got a helmet too, a leather helmet they wore, German.
Right.
And
what city was this? Do you remember where his headquarters was located?
No, we went through towns pretty quick. And
how did you ever have a chance to interact with the local German citizens, the population?
Yeah, one town. They were all, the houses were right on the street, pretty close. I mean, but they were, I remember people in the windows when we went through cheering for us.
Oh.
Waving and cheering. And so when we got through, we come out, Camp Lucky Strike was the camp that I was through. There were several on the coast.
These were where you were stationed once the war ended and they were waiting to see what to do next?
No, we just checked through there and then got on the boat to come back home.
Yeah, the European theater was over.
Yeah. Okay. But then when we were halfway home on that boat, that's when Japan surrendered.
Otherwise, would you have been going to Japan?
We were scheduled to, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I was one of the outfits that was handpicked to go there. The 30th Division got the presidential citation for what we did where we were at then. But then we come back to Boston, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
and shipped us to Chicago by train, and then train down to Atlanta, I think. No, to Chicago, and we got the discharge there, I think.
I see. Did your parents?
We didn't
know?
Get a discharge. We got a 45-day leave because they didn't know what they was going to do with us. And got a 30-day leave first, but then they added 15 days to it. I got that notice. I got it through the mail when I was home. So
did your parents know you were coming home at that point? Did you ever call them or write them?
Yeah, I think they knew.
Okay.
I can't
they must have been
remember.
Excited, yes.
But, so when the 45 days is up, why... I got discharged.
Okay.
And
so once the war ended in Europe, how long did you have to stay in Camp Lucky Strike? Was it pretty quick?
Yeah, okay. I don't remember.
Because they wanted you home for the
to go to Japan. But I don't remember too much about that. I was just rushing to here and sign that and everything. So.
Well, some of your fellow troops were left in Europe, and they stayed there a lot longer before they were discharged. So
yeah,
you got
I don't,
home more quickly, yes.
I don't remember about that. We didn't know anything
some
about
the other
it.
Divisions.
But there was the 30th Division, 119th Infantry, and I was in Company D.
What was the most difficult or different thing about getting out of the military and coming back to civilian life?
Well, I was a printer, and I was an apprentice printer
right.
at the University Press. And then I was a journeyman then.
So you were able to get back with the University Press?
Yeah, I got back in.
Okay.
And I stayed there for 35 years.
My gosh.
And retired. And then I got a job in the grocery store, Shrimp's Grocery at 6th and John Street in Champaign.
Right.
And I spent 22 years there part-time.
Oh, my gosh.
But I got my Social Security bill on that when I was at the university. I didn't
right.
have Social Security.
Right.
But I got a university pension and a Social Security. So that worked out.
What are some of the other memories of your period in the war that you think are most striking?
Most what?
are most striking to you or come back most vividly when you think back on that period in Europe?
Well, the Black Forest was pretty tough with all that snow. And we were beside of the road that went through there. And they was bringing some German prisoners through there. And we said to ourselves, oh, I bet they don't live long. Because those Germans had killed a lot of our prisoners. And that could be that they didn't make it. I don't know.
But this was, you were advancing on foot through the forest to get to cover the ground? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But that, of course, that accident where I was riding the Jeep was just pure luck that I did what I did.
Right. Quick thinking.
So I don't know much more.
That's understandable, right? So what part of your basic training did you think was the most valuable when you got over to Europe that really helped you survive and do well? Did they train you well in Florida?
Well, I had a carbine instead of a rifle.
Did you like that better than the M1?
Yeah, it was lighter.
Okay. It fired
faster. I never had to fire it.
Oh, okay. But how long was the training, the basic training in Florida? How many weeks?
From June to December.
Okay.
In 44. I think I've got some papers there that spell that out.
So they trained you well then?
Pardon?
They trained you a long time and I hope trained you well, yes.
I remember one time down there there was a hurricane warning.
Oh.
And we all had to go in a certain building, but it never got that far in, but they're taking precautions.
Was everyone at that post in Florida going to Europe? That was, as far as you know?
They were going to different places.
Oh, okay.
And I went, in the unit I went into, and when I got in Europe, there was 10 or 15. And I was the only one made it through.
Really?
They got sick or killed or something. You got a lot of trench foot when your boots get full of snow. And I was lucky I didn't get it. I don't know.
Did you get to see any of the leaders of the armies in those times, you know, the generals or the others when you were a soldier?
We were in Patton's army.
Okay.
I think I saw him once.
Ah.
Oh, another thing, my brother-in-law was a major, and he was over there, and his job to coordinate the ground and the air forces. Mm-hmm. And he knew where I was, and he sent for me back to headquarters. And I stayed overnight, but I had to sleep in the basement. It's a brick building, on a bed of sugar beets.
Just because there were no beds or because you were...
There wasn't much place. Okay. That, of course, the officer and everything was upstairs, but I just picked that and I was tired and everything and just laid down on those sugar beets. And it's just,
when you were in the field, were you sleeping outdoors all the time?
Yeah.
So that was, being indoors was a break from the outdoor sleeping.
Yeah.
What rank were you when you completed your service?
Private first class.
All right.
And when I was visiting my brother-in-law, I got some ice cream there. We never had that. So there was, my wife had three brothers and me. We all were in the service. One was a bombardier over Italy, and a major, and the other one, the oldest brother, was a truck driver taking supplies to the front and back and back and back. So we all got out.
Oh, good.
On the arms.
Or is there anything else you'd like to tell about your experiences?
Well, I don't. When I went to Chicago to register, the officer there was he owned the off supply store.
Grogard's or
Grogard.
Oh.
He was I think the road part. I can't remember the last name now. But that was something that.
So he was from Urbana and Champaign,
yeah,
too?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
We've been interviewing Malcolm G. Davis on Tuesday, September 25th, 2007. It has been a pleasure to have a chance to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Don't get up till we get the microphone off. Is that okay, Henry?
That's fine.
Okay.